but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Oregon State, I was at the game. I was at Reser Stadium. I thought Oregon State outplayed Fresno State, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I thought the offense did a nice job. Trent Bray, Oregon State coach, he's 0-2. There was some frustration at halftime, of course. I'm going to let him talk to that. I want to really hear what he's thinking about this week, how you keep the locker room engaged when you're not getting a result. How you mentally, as a coach, when it means so much and you pour so much of it yourself into this and things don't go the way you want them to go or hope they go or know they should go, how does that feel? How do you stay engaged? Trent Bray, Oregon State coach, joining us now. You heard me there. Along those lines, like psychologically, how do you stay engaged when you're not getting the result?
Yeah, I think you really got to trust, you know, in the people around you, the people you're working with and for, and then your own desire and then competitiveness to get it fixed. That's what keeps you engaged. And why we do this is because we're competitors, and that's what it's all about is the competitive nature of getting it done and working to make sure it gets done.
For people who haven't heard you talk about what happened at halftime, What was going through your mind as Nigel comes up to you? You know him a while. He's a former coach. Mm-hmm. I have to think some of that was, you know, the guy, you're comfortable with the guy and you're just talking. But what was happening with you in that moment?
Yeah, it was obviously frustrated because that whole half turned around. All right. The false start, instead of going for it on fourth and one and getting it, we get a false start. Two of them, then we got a punt and we throw the punt behind and they score a touchdown. And so instead of us going in the halftime with the lead, them never touching the ball again and possibly more points, you know, we're down. So frustrated, and then come off, and where I got to grow as a head coach is I got to ask a question. I answered it honestly, you know, and sometimes it's not.
Yes,
not
you did. Yes, yeah. You did. So, you weren't wrong. You weren't wrong. Yeah. It was a bleeping joke out there. But yeah. There's a moment, like, that wasn't Mike Riley, right? You know, like, there's a moment of, you ask your guys for poise, right? And I guess I'm just trying to say, like, you know, down deep, you've got to be poised in that moment.
No doubt, no doubt. And that's definitely what I gotta be better in those moments, and just understand the role now is, you know, I gotta be in front of the TV at times like that. And so I got to control the way I talk and emotions.
We have talked about this before. I mean, I don't think, like, you're a coach and you grow up around football, even as a player, you're not in this to be on the other side of the camera, and yet you're on the other side of the camera at times. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you have felt that maybe you're getting more comfortable with, still need to work on? Where are you on all that?
Yeah, more comfortable. Obviously need continue to work on it, and probably my political correctness could be better, especially on camera.
Right.
And that's where I need to just I need to continue to get better.
No F-bombs. Mm-hmm. You know, the frustration, it's okay to say you're frustrated. I think that's fine. You know, fans are frustrated watching it too. What was going on with the snapping thing? Because after the game I talked to John Baxter, the Fresno State special teams coach. He says to me, we thought their long snapper might have broke his hand. They were watching film from the Cal game. Was there an injury to the hand in that Cal game that caused a problem in the second game?
Well, yeah, Dylan Black hurt his hand in Cal game. That's our, you know, our starting snapper. And then, Jackson had to come in, but he was our long snapper last year.
Right.
And he'd done a fine job last year and snapped at the end of the Cal game and had done a fine job. It's just kind of one of those things, like, you, I guess you equate it to like when you start slicing the ball in golf.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing that just, he just attacked him in that moment, you know, that game, and he just couldn't get it on target at all.
Is there, you know, was there an effort during, maybe during the game to get him off to the side working on it? I don't know, you know, if that is helpful or not. Like, what are you doing as a head coach maybe after a couple of those go awry? You have to be turning to your special teams coach going, hey, we got to fix this.
Yeah. So we put another guy in, Will, and he snapped the field goal, the one we made.
Right.
But was struggling with the long snap, which is hard to do. I mean, that's not an easy job for anyone that's done it. And so he started struggling with that too, and we went back to Jackson, and the problem hadn't been solved. You know, and he was looking good on the sideline, and that, you know, that's a thing. It's the mental part of it that was affecting him, not anything about his physical ability to get it done.
Kind of like the yips, right? In
yeah,
you know, your
uh-huh.
Steve Sachs, remember the Dodgers second baseman, couldn't throw the ball to first base all of a sudden. And he would throw it over the first baseman's head, throw it in the dirt. How is the snapping looking this week?
It's been better. He's gotten better, and then obviously Will getting more work. And then we've got some other things that we'll do with, to make sure that if something isn't looking right, we get it fixed right away and not have that issue.
Scott Barnes, your AD, was in the back of the room at the news conference. Did he talk to you before you got up there? Did he talk to you at all about, hey, you need to apologize, or you need to address the CW thing, or how did that unfold?
I mean, he reminded me, because quite frankly, I didn't even remember saying it. You know, it wasn't something that I had thought about. It was something that just came out. So, especially at the end of the game, that wasn't where my mind was. It wasn't on what I said at halftime. So he just reminded me, and we talked about it, and that's kind of the conclusion. Hey, it'd be best to do this. So went out and did it.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State coach. I mentioned it before you came on, sort of keeping the locker room engaged. What is the psyche of this team right now? How are guys doing?
They're doing good. They've had a good week of practice so far. I think, you know, you kind of hit on it from they can watch the film and see us. I mean, we controlled that game on both offense and defense. It was all good. And then when you watch the film, that's what it looked like. You know, and then so to outgain a team by how much we outgained them, hold them to 1-8 on third down, you know, 16 points were scored without the defense being on the field. That's hard to overcome.
Ooh, yeah.
And so there's just a lot there, but there were a lot of, like, great moments on both offense and defense and things like we got better from week one to week two in those areas. You know, it was obviously the snapping and the things that gave Fresno points and field position that really killed us.
One of Fresno's coaches coming off said there's no joy in winning like that. And I thought that was a real honest assessment because, you know, I think even as a coach, I mean, tell me if I'm crazy, you play a poor game and win, you're not happy, you know, and you play a great game or a good enough game to win and you lose, you're also not happy. Like, there's a lot of unhappiness in coaching in general.
There absolutely is. And I was more, you know, and frustrated. Obviously, I'm frustrated for not myself, but it's more for the players. And they did what we asked. They improved, and they got better, and we moved the ball better. And Malik played a ton better. And, you know, defensively, we limited the, you know, the ball being thrown over our head and continued to get off the field on third down and did all the things we asked them to do. And for them to come up short like that is hard, and then that's what I really am frustrated about.
What about for fans? Because I think there were some fans out there that were frustrated that, you know, gosh, they're here cheering, they're buying in, and it's not going the way they had hoped. And I know there's a lot of angst out there in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, people and fans, and they come here to see us win, and that's the expectation, and it's our expectation too. So I understand the frustration, especially that game was frustrating. It was frustrating for everyone, and so I understand that. There's no question.
Here's the thing that if I were talking to you as a friend, I would say, like, okay, everyone saw it. you obviously are frustrated. You should be frustrated. That was crappy what was happening, especially at the end of the half, the way it was going. But when you do that on camera, then all of a sudden people go, wait a minute, is this guy undisciplined? Like, what is he in there in the locker room punching things? Is, you know, does he have control of this team? And I think that's the door you don't want to open. And so I think in that moment, not just being politically correct, but being poised is the thing that you see really good coaches do, that they show that at their worst moment, they're still in control of their own emotions and themselves. And that's a little different when you're a coordinator versus the CEO guy. And that maybe is the area of growth you may be talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
Texas Tech, what do you see on film?
They're talented. I mean, they're talented. They acquired a bunch of talent in the offseason, and so they've got it at all levels, and so we got to do a great job of, you know, of being on task and being on our work. Cause, you know, one guy out of position, which you can see on film already this year, they're going to make an explosive play.
The idea that, you know, you're going on the road, you're essentially, if you've been to Texas Tech, people who haven't seen it, it's like playing a game on Mars. How do you prepare for sort of the tumbleweed and the wide open spaces and the potential for weather and all of that stuff? And, you know, you're basically getting into your first road game as well for some guys who haven't played a road game.
Yeah, you know, the environment part, for guys that haven't been in something like that. Now, we got a number of guys that have been in environments like that, which is good. But for the guys that are, the environment part, you can't really prepare for. The noise, you know, having crowd noise at practice, to work on nonverbal communication, all the things that come with playing in a hostile environment. You work, and then you got to talk. We talk to them every day this week about, hey, we're right in front of their student section. You're going to hear some crazy comments. They're going to be on. We can't engage. We got to stay focused on what we're there to do, which is go in and win a football game.
Trent Bray, go win a football game, and, you know, keep doing what you're doing. I hope you do grow. And I appreciate you making time for us.
Yep, no problem.
There he goes. Trent Bray, Oregon State coach. I want reaction, because I have reaction. You know what I'm thinking. I'm a little frustrated with that interview. I'm a little frustrated because two things came up in that interview that I gave him a second chance on. And both times he doubled down. One was, it appears to me that the head football coach at Oregon State cares very much about his team. When I asked him about the fan frustration, there was a view that he had of the fans being there paying to buy a ticket to watch a game, like it's an entertainment disappointment when they lose. I don't think he understands that the fans at Oregon State, actually a little piece of them dies inside as a sports fan when a game like that happens. It's the same for players, coaches, fans. He tried to draw a distinction from it, and I went, there's a disconnect there. Because a true program CEO is going to do what? He's going to go, the fans are frustrated. I heard the boos. We feel the same way. Like, we're all in it together. You don't hear Dan Lanning separating the fan base from his team and his locker room so flippantly. Second thing, it sounded to me that he was disappointed that he said, dropped an F-bomb at halftime, and he regrets it and whatnot. And apparently Scott Barnes talked to him before his post-game interview, which I suspected. But I also kind of think he's just dismissing it as, you know, hey, it's something that happened. I got to be politically correct. Politically correct is not what we're asking you to be. We're asking you to be poised and in control of your emotions and disciplined, so that when your team is playing undisciplined, we don't look over and go, well, of course they are. Look at the head coach. 503-417-7575. Want your reaction to it? You got the bald-faced truth statewide.